Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Ham. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock here on Sacramento Sports Leader. It's ESPN 1320. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the program. You're never going to believe this. The New Orleans Pelicans play on Wednesday, and Zion Williamson has been ruled out.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I'm shocked.
I don't want to tell you what
he came back.
My son and his friends call him.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. He comes back, does a 360 windmill, looks great. Everyone's making jokes about Ozempic, and then he
Ozempic Zion. Yeah, that's what they call him.
And then he was late, and he gets suspended for a game, and now he's out. Man. What about, he's going to go down. He is going to go down as an all-time what if.
He is. And like people say, oh, we've never seen a player like this before. We have. We saw this player before. His name was Larry Johnson. He was grandmama. It's the same exact thing. And unfortunately, Larry Johnson's back just could not, like being that big, jumping that high, like your body cannot hold up. The only one who's ever been able to do it, like be that big and strong. Well, two. Karl Malone somehow just never missed games forever because he like,
below the rim player.
Well, sometimes. Like he had quite a few dunks in his career, but he also, I think, like lifted giant tires just for fun. But the other one is LeBron. Like LeBron has been
able, an alien.
He is. He's a 6'8", 270-pound alien. Like he as a 16-year-old looked like a full-grown man.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he's been able to maintain his body is absolutely incredible. But at the same time, it just doesn't happen. It's more often that you have this, that guys break down, especially big guys like that. And it's tough because I think everyone wants to see Zion do those crazy 360 dunks and stuff, the 360 windmill he did the other day. But everybody in the gym should be like, man, should you really be doing a 360 windmill? You just got back. You're going to miss a game. If that costs you a game,
man,
because you got to do a highlight reel dunk, all right.
We'll change of plans real quick. Programming announcement coming up in about 40 minutes. Jesse Tapia will be in for the handoff.
Okay.
Nomad props today. Jesse.
Just Jesse.
Hanging out, talking some ball. Can't wait. Jesse Tapia, producer for D'Lo and KC, will join us at about 11:45. Before we get to six quick thoughts,
okay,
you mentioned the number of like coaching announcements there have been, in the NFL, and I think that's partly because there are a couple teams, the Bears and Jets, who don't know what they're doing. They don't have a plan or like a short list. They're just kind of, there's a difference between casting a wide net and throwing stuff at the wall.
Well, that, you know what, it's got to the point where I could almost make like a full 52-card deck of playing cards with the different faces of players, of coaches that they brought in.
It's ridiculous. But one of the things that has come up, we haven't really talked about it here. So the 49ers promoted Clay Kubiak to their offensive coordinator position. The problem is they can't do that.
No.
The NFL has a rule where if you open a coordinator position, offense or defense, if you open a coordinator position, you are required to interview for it, which I didn't know. So
you didn't know that?
No.
Well, I mean,
because I don't
you
remember,
know, the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
but I did not realize that, because I think Mike McDaniel just got promoted.
Oh.
To OC. I don't remember the Niners doing interviews for offensive coordinator in 2021.
Maybe they changed that rule in the meantime.
They might have. So still, didn't know that. A lot of people didn't know that, apparently. I don't think Kyle Shanahan knew that, or else he wouldn't have made that announcement. So they've announced that Clay Kubiak, their offensive passing game specialist, is going to be the offensive coordinator
Which isn't even a real position in San Francisco anyways, because Shanahan calls all the plays. But go ahead.
It's literally a title change and a pay bump.
Yeah.
Shanahan said his duties are not, he's been the offensive coordinator without the title for 2 years. Like, all right, cool. So they now have to interview candidates for a job that's not open.
Nope.
They promoted a guy, then went, oh yeah, by the way, the job's open. Who wants to interview for it?
And now we get these really, really like...
We're going to get some randos.
Glam shot pictures that they put on the internet of we interviewed picture of this guy wearing a different hat.
Yeah. No, but honestly, those interviews can be valuable, especially for like college coaches. If it's their first NFL interview, they get a taste of what it's like. Brandon Staley interviewed for the Niners defensive coordinator position last year and wound up getting a different job with the team.
Yep.
So there's all kinds of, it's so silly. I mean, we were talking about if I should do at Niners Wire, if I should do like a list of offensive coordinator candidates type of posts. It's like, no, they're not going to hire, Clay Kubiak's going to be the guy. They have to interview on technicalities.
That's right.
Anyways.
We should put out, we should like bring in a third person here, and then we could, we'll have to put out a, you know, like a
we're
job
just gonna,
description.
We're just going to promote Jesse, but then do interviews for him.
We'll just like, everyone's going to get upset, like who we interview and who we, and then every time we interview someone, we'll take a picture of you like going into the restroom or like... getting a snack or something, and then that will be the picture we use when we promote the fact that we interviewed you. We'll have a graphic made.
Interview complete. I don't even know when that started.
I don't know.
It feels very recent that teams started announcing when they interview somebody.
Well, I mean, to announce like 45 of them is ridiculous. Like every single day we're seeing like, hey, look, they interviewed another guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's to appease fans. I don't know if it's to get out in front of the rumor mill of this guy has an interview lined up or this guy did interview, this guy didn't. I don't know.
I would love it if the Kings, every time they were rumored to be in some sort of trade for somebody, they put out a card. We have called on this player. Player in a uniform, like, dunking. Like, hey, look at that. They're acknowledging that it wasn't just like an anonymous source. It was them. There it is.
I think some teams do it to let the world know they're fulfilling the Rooney Rule requirement.
Of course. Yeah.
Anyways. 6 quick thoughts. You want to get back to Kings Bucks?
Yeah, let's do this.
Kings 115, Bucks 130. I hate that. Let me redo that. We'll fix that in post. 3-2-1. Bucks 130, Kings 115. I always do the team that had more points first.
Okay.
That's just how I don't...
That's fine.
The Kings lost 115 to 130. Hate that. Thumbs down. Two thumbs down, actually. Bucks 130, Kings 115. Kings 7-game win streak snapped. Let's get to James Ham's 6 quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Ham has 6 notes you need to know.
Suboptimal.
Here are James Ham's 6
Poor.
Quick thoughts.
Subpar performance. James Ham's 6 quick thoughts. You can find these on various social media, including Twitter at James_HamNBA. That's Twitter, currently X. James Ham, 6 quick thought number 1.
We got the full DeMar experience.
Boy, did we.
He wasn't good early, and he kept shooting shots outside of the offense. And I think that's what you just notice it. I don't know what it is. You notice it because it's like, four guys are doing one thing and one guy's doing something different. It's that thing that we used to see on Sesame Street all the time. You know, three of these kids are doing the same thing and like it just stands out. And it wasn't working, but then all of a sudden it became like the only thing that the Kings had.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a place for it, the way that he plays, the shots that he takes. And then there's also not a place for it. And I still don't know when that time is and when it isn't. And it's really weird because of that. Like, if he was coming off the bench and they just kept feeding him and doing his thing, it would feel more, like, organic. Mm-hmm. It would be forced, but it would still be more organically forced.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that it works out is, like, it's not working. It's like, okay, well, we ain't got anything else that could possibly work. And then DeMar started cooking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to ding a guy for going, you know, 28 points on 9 of 18 shooting. He had 6 rebounds. He had 4 assists. He started doing the other things as well. So his stat line looks incredible, but the way he does it, it just like, it stands out every single game
mm-hmm.
as something that doesn't quite feel like it's working out the right. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, man, keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting. But then at the other times you're like, oh, what is happening? It's just such a weird feeling to watch him play.
It feels like a major, it feels like if we just, 5 minutes every day during our show, just turned on Carlin versus Joe, which is the ESPN national show that's on during our show.
Okay.
If we just turned that on for 5 minutes,
hmm.
it would be like, okay, yeah, that's sports talk radio, but that's not what I tuned into. This is separate from what's happening on ESPN 1320. Like, this is a different thing, right? Like, if I just did, I don't even have the ability to turn it on. I was just going to fire it up right now. But
Kyle, it's like if all of a sudden we decided to start talking pro bull riding in the middle of our show. It's just like, we're going to spend 5 minutes on PBR today. It's coming to Sacramento just a couple of weeks. We're just going to spend
minutes. What it would be like.
We're gonna
That's
spend
exactly
5 minutes
what it would be like.
Talking about PBR right now.
And not the beer. Salute to Pabst Blue Ribbon. Big fan of a PBR. What was the restaurant? Flaming Grill.
Flaming Grill.
Yeah, you could get a liter of PBR for like $4.
Oh.
It's the best. But anyways.
The Pine Cove. Always had PBR on tap.
Salute to the Pine Cove. I don't... The DeMar DeRozan thing, this was my greatest concern with it, was that it wasn't... It was going to look separate from what the Kings normally do offensively.
Yep.
And there are points in the game where I thought last night, particularly in the first half and in the second quarter, it turned into everybody stand around and watch DeMar DeRozan work for his shot. And if it's a tie game and there's 2 minutes left, or if it's overtime against the Miami Heat and he's rolling, then okay, cool. That's what it's going to be. That's what DeMar DeRozan's made a career out of. But it's not the best version of the Kings offense. It's not the version of the Kings offense that you're looking and going, man, hey, they need to get into a better rhythm, that everything looks disjointed. You've got Keegan Murray missing, airballing threes, and you've got Kevin Huerter smoking layups, and they're one undone on every possession. This is just brutal. More of that, more standing around and watching DeMar DeRozan dribble the basketball into a contested 12-footer is not conducive to getting the Kings offense moving. A possession here and there where it's like, you know what, a 12-0 run, the Kings just need a bucket, and he goes down and he gets to the free throw line or whatever, cool. But these long stretches where he does that, that's not helping Keegan Murray get going. That's not helping De'Aaron Fox. That's not helping Trey Lyles. That doesn't help anyone.
I think we all thought that there would be a moment mm-hmm. where you were able to take what he does and then put it in the two-man game with Demonis, mm-hmm. or you would be able to play off of that in a specific way
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden he's going baseline and dribbling, and then there's a cutter and he finds a cutter and boom, like having the ISO player it works. It really, like when we say the word isolation,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what it feels like. It feels like he is isolated doing something different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just him against one guy, it feels like it's him against one guy and everything else stops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very unique experience to watch a flow offense and one ISO player.
Yeah.
And even when De'Aaron Fox dribbles and does all of his crazy things, or Malik Monk dribbles, it always feels like it's in the flow. Like,
well, because there's a pace to it.
Yeah.
And this is where Wilson in the chat, shout out to the Chatty House, youtube.com/ESPN1320. Also, if you want to join the conversation, please do, either in the Chatty House or on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. That's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Wilson said it's because DeMar shoots long twos and we're conditioned to believe they're bad shots. If he shot 15 pull-up threes and made six of them, it would look in the flow of the offense. I disagree, because it's not the type of shot he's getting. It's the amount that he dribbles and dribbles, and the pace is slow, and then he backs down the defender, and then he pump fakes, and he pump fakes. It's like, I don't care what type of shot he's shooting.
Yeah.
It's just, he just happens to shoot mid-range jumpers. And mid-range jumpers aren't bad if you're hitting them. Like, mid-range jumpers are a bad shot because there are dudes who take them and aren't good at them. But that's not it. It's the fact that everything else stops and it's everybody watch DeMar get to whatever shot it is, whether it's a two, a three, a layup, or otherwise.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's like if you're doing like an abstract painting and it's all beautiful, it's all swirly, and then someone draws a house in the middle of it. And you're like, well, that house isn't abstract. It looks like a normal house.
Right. It's
like,
and it's fine. It's a fine like house.
Yeah, it's a beautiful house. Like it's a Hall of Fame house.
Sure.
I mean, straight up.
Yeah.
It's a 6-time All-Star house. But at the same time, you're like, does that belong on that sheet? And then sometimes you're like, oh, okay, it works. I see it.
Yep.
I see it. It works.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times you're just like, okay, I don't know. Like last night, it was so obvious in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had to have it in the second half, it was like, okay, well, this is how you're surviving.
Mm-hmm.
This is your only air at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're breathing in this air and that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
Yeah. So. And sometimes that's going to happen. This was my concern was that it's not going to be integrated quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just kind of see that. And I thought last night, like you said, in the second half, that's how they survived and that's going to happen sometimes. I don't think it's conducive to getting the offense going. And I think that's kind of what we saw in the second quarter.
Yeah, it's useful to get points in a small grouping of minutes. It's not useful to get an offense going off the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, number two.
Number two, Fox went for 20 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. The 11 rebounds, I'm going to just keep circling this. He had 9 rebounds last game. He had 9 rebounds in the first half of the loss to the Bucks. Finishes with 11. I feel like last year, De'Aaron focused on steals and was like, oh, I can dominate and just be the best steal guy in the league. And you're like, okay, there he goes. All of a sudden, I think he, again, I'm going to bring this up. I think he was watching where Devin Carter went on the floor and like, how is Devin Carter getting all these rebounds? And then he probably went and watched more film of Russell Westbrook and said, how does Russell get all those rebounds? And then all of a sudden, De'Aaron Fox is like a rebound maven. Now, I would love to see De'Aaron Fox still running up the court and being like the lead out guy. And maybe he's giving up some points to get this rebound, to get the rebound numbers. But for a team that has a small forward that averages 4 rebounds a game and, you know, a shooting guard that averages 3 rebounds a game, I think it might be imperative that De'Aaron Fox does become this player. And then he can lead the break from the back line. You know, he can start running up the court full speed, but having a full vision of the court and being able to move the ball that way.
Sure.
As opposed to being the guy who's out on the break the whole time, especially if you have a guy like Malik, who's such an incredible finisher in transition.
Yeah. And that's like De'Aaron Fox is one of those players that he's going to be able to go do whatever. If he wants to have 10 assists in a game, he can go get it.
Yep.
If he wants to have 10 boards in a game, he can go get them. Like that's kind of the player he is. Like how aggressive he was last night, not super efficient. 9 of 23 and 2 of 8 from 3. But, with no Malik, that's what you want. You want De'Aaron Fox taking a lot of shots. And that's what he did last night. So overall, fine.
Yep.
Number three.
Low battery without Monk. The Kings have to figure it out. Like, you can't just make this excuse that, hey, it is what it is. Like, Malik Monk's not here, so we're going to lose tonight. They're 2-6 this season without Malik. When you made the move to put Malik into the starting lineup, it puts you in a weird situation. Malik Monk is now going to play major minutes. And when a player who played 26 minutes a game last year, 22 the year before, all of a sudden is playing 34 minutes, but on the fly, he's going to get injured. There's going to be bumps and bruises. His body ramping up to that. There are going to be downtimes for Malik. And you got to figure out a different way. And I don't know what that is. You're going to need a player that steps up and brings that type of energy. And maybe it's Devin Carter. But that's not kind of what we've seen so far. And if we did see it, it was almost like forced a little bit. Like some of the shots weren't what you expected. Like they just weren't great shots. Even he took the ball to the basket once or twice. And it's like, it's not really your game yet.
Yeah.
The floater in the lane, maybe. But, you know, it's like they're trying to create this instant offense without Malik. And it's really tough because he's a unique player. And it's why I think, you know, even having a guy like Terrence Davis, who was that, he just went out there and like, you saw him. As soon as he's on the court, you're like, good or bad, I know that TD's on the court. And that's something that energy, they have to find the way to create that energy, especially when they're on the road.
Yeah, man. And it's just kind of the pace that Malik plays with. It's just everything's always 100 miles an hour. And you have Domantas Sabonis, who that's not his style. You have DeMar DeRozan, certainly not his style. Keegan Murray, definitely not his style. De'Aaron Fox is more of a, like, let the game come to him type of guy in general. And Keon Ellis is not going to be a tone setter on offense. So when Malik's out, it's like, man, they need to. It's not even about the necessarily like replacing the joy or the energy, because I don't think they have that personality, which is kind of what that comes down to. It's just getting into the offense and getting that pace going early.
Well, that and getting the two-man game going with Sabonis.
I didn't think they did that at all.
There's a, like, Sabonis dropping down to 16 points in that game. It's very specific. He didn't get the four drop passes from Malik Monk to give him, you know, an extra 6 points.
And he took 9 shots. That's crazy. That's not enough.
It's not enough, but you need somebody feeding him.
No doubt.
And they need to get Fox and him in the two-man game. Just straight up. Like, they have to try.
I don't know why they don't. Do they... I don't know. There must be a reason.
I think part of it is, we talked about this yesterday, it's a two left-handed guy thing. They're both left-handed. So when Monk goes down the right side of the lane and he hits Sabonis with a pocket pass, it goes to his left hand. And then he goes up with his left. Having Fox, I mean, Fox can dribble with his right. He can pass with his right, but he's not as efficient. But having him play the same way is very difficult. Fox likes to attack from the left as well. So you got to figure that out. And initially,
I trust Domas to learn how to use his other hand.
I don't know.
I think he's skilled enough.
I don't know. Have you seen him try to work with his right? It's not great. I mean, he's not Marvin Bagley, but there certainly is, like, he does not go to the right. And if he does, he still uses the left hand if he goes to the right side.
All right. Well, it's something to work on.
More often than not. Yep.
We'll work on
it. I agree.
Let's get to number four, then we'll save 5 and 6. What's number four?
Yeah, it's Sabonis.
No, Domas.
16 points, 10 rebounds, 9
Captain
assists.
Captain No-Right.
I thought his double-double streak was going to end, but he figured out a way to save it. He got caught in that weird transition with Giannis way too many times, and he just kept picking up silly fouls. And there's nothing you could do. You could see how frustrated he was with himself. But it's almost like you have to think of Giannis in a totally different way.
Yeah.
You can't react late and go, oh, no, I've got to run out to him. Toast.
You're done.
Yeah. You have to pick him up instantly.
We talked about that yesterday. If he's all right, he's going to have a dunk.
Yep.
And it's not a lack of effort. It's, you don't want Domas in foul trouble or Keegan or De'Aaron or whoever it was going to be. Yeah. And I thought last night just too often they just did that where he got by somebody and there was a reach in or trying to block his shot or like, man, if he gets to certain spots on the court, I know it's not in their DNA to just go, because he's the one player in the league that this is true for.
Yeah.
Or just, there's not a lot you're going to do about it.
No, totally.
So I don't know. Not the end of the world, but all right, we'll get to 5 and 6. And there are two really, really interesting ones with James Ham's 6 quick thoughts. Before we step aside for a minute, I want to chat with you about Underdog Fantasy Sports. I'm going to talk to you about it, even though it's not going great for me right now. It's super easy. They're a pick'em game. You pick higher or lower on at least 2 player stats from at least 2 different teams, and then you can win up to 1,000 times your entry. But bad night for your boy last night. I've now lost 5 lineups in a row. I won 3 out of my first 4. I've now lost 5 in a row. Had Giannis lower than 51.5 points, rebounds, and assists, and I said, that's a massive number. I don't think he's going to get there. 57? Like, not even close. I was like, okay, at least I'll be sweating that out. Nope, didn't sweat it out. He cruised to 57 points, rebounds, and assists. But because of the flex play option on Underdog's Pick'em game, I can get 2 out of 3 and still win some money. No dice. I had Jared Allen higher than half a double-double, finished 1 rebound short. I did get Andrew Nembhard correct. I had higher than 1.5 first quarter points. He had 7 points in the first quarter for the Pacers.
Nice.
That was my first one. I was like, nice. I'm on track. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen, no. Giannis, no. It's still a lot of fun. And I'm going to keep playing even though I keep on losing. So download the Underdog app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KYLEM on the Underdog app. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Lazy? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. We'll finish up six quick thoughts. And I have another Domas thing I want to talk about. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I want to run it by you, James. So
okay.
We'll do all of that in the final segment. Also, the handoff with Jesse Tapia of D'Lo and KC fame coming up next here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Whoops. Voice guy, come back. You were muted. Voice guy, say it again. Here we go. 3, 2, and 1.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
What were you saying? We were talking about subtitles, and I had to cut you off.
Subtitle. Yeah, like movies and shows. Like, I do love watching subtitle movies, but when I'm multitasking, when I'm writing, when I'm doing other things, watching games and watching a show at the same time, which I do quite often, like I can't do subtitles in that situation.
Yeah, of course not.
So I do watch like a lot of weird, like Scandinavian, like cop procedurals. And they're, my wife walks in the room and every time's like, oh, I can't do this. Because you can hear the voice difference.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so like it doesn't so much bother me that they're moving mouths and the audio is off like slightly, but there is like a, hey, that's recorded in a sound studio.
Yeah, I can't do dubbed.
Oh,
it doesn't, like the voice, like you said, first of all, it sounds recorded in a sound studio. The voices don't match the person ever.
Yeah.
And I just, so yeah, I'm big on subtitles. Somebody asked if we'd seen Parasite. I have seen Parasite. It's fantastic. One of those movies that everybody loved, and I was like, I'm ready to hate it. Nope, loved it. Great movie. Everybody was right. Anyways, we were doing six quick thoughts, and then we were rudely interrupted by people that wanted to give us money. So let's continue with six quick thoughts. I believe we're on number 5, and this gets into one of the interesting ones for me. I've got a fun stat for you here.
Number 5, Keegan Murray continues to improve from distance. He's now shooting almost 32% from 3. He was 3 of 8 last night. Scored 11 points, 7 rebounds. You wanted more. There is a concern that some of his 3-point shots, like, are air balls. Like, they're not even remotely close.
He, like, hit his first one.
And then, like, 2 straight air balls.
Like, bad misses.
Yeah, like, horrendous misses. And no one around him at all.
Baffling.
Almost like he's misjudged where he is on the court.
Yeah.
Very strange, very strange. I'd also say, like, I don't know if anyone's noticed, but Keegan is growing up in front of our eyes. Like, he's starting to get, like, become, go from, like, his teenager body to, like, the man body that he's going to have. He's just getting bigger and bigger, like, on the court. It's like, hey, look at that. But at the same time, like, the 3-point shot thing, I'm okay if he goes 3 of 8. I do wish that the misses weren't as bad.
I almost it feel, and I don't know this for sure, this is what it looks like, is he made some tweak to hit, I don't know how much knee bend he has when he shoots, where his feet are, where his hand placed, like, he made some small adjustment to his shooting stroke and pause, and just is missing. Like, he's still finding the exact range because he's missing, like, long.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird.
It is a little strange. And you know, great shooters, they don't miss right or left. They miss, like, distance
wise. Right.
Like,
either
too far or too short.
Right.
And I still feel that way with him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I'm waiting for that game where he busts out for, like, a 7 of 11 or something. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, ah, there he is. But either way, the last, like, four or five games since returning from injury, he's just been a lot more efficient. Every game is 3 or 4 threes, and he looks like he's building something. And that's what the Kings have been waiting for. They really, really need that scorer, but also that shooter.
I have a fun Keegan stat for you.
Let's hear it.
He took 8 threes last night.
Mm-hmm.
That means he's played 7 games under Doug Christie.
Okay.
He has taken 8 or more threes in 4 of them. Well, he's taken exactly 8 threes, but 8 or more threes in 4 of them.
Okay.
In the 30 games he played while Mike Brown was the head coach this year, he took eight or more threes three times.
Wow.
And that's crazy. I don't know if that's related to De'Aaron and Malik being injured and he just is getting more volume and it's a pure coincidence. But I do think when you hear players talk about the more player-friendly approach and Doug saying, hey, we're not going to harp on mistakes. We're just going to play through those. Those are going to happen. What you can't do is dwell on it. I kind of wonder if Keegan was reaching a point where he wasn't shooting great early in the year and started dwelling on those mistakes where he's like, okay, well, I'm just not going to shoot it. Whereas now the mantra is, hey, man, you're going to miss some. You got to keep hoisting.
Yeah, four of his last five games, he's got eight threes or more. Yeah. Since returning from injury, he's only had one game where he didn't have eight threes.
Yeah.
And three makes, four makes, five makes, three makes, three makes. Like, I'm all in. Like, if that's a player, that is the player the
Kings
need.
Three for eight, you will take every single night.
Yeah, absolutely. So, he needs to clean up some of his two-point attempts as well. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. He's averaging, like, 5% less from the field, shooting from the field than he has in previous years. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is because of the three-point makes, but also two-point makes-wise, he has not been as efficient that as I would like.
Yeah. Want to remind everybody real quick before we move on here. 4 o'clock today, right after D'Lo and Casey, we got a really fun college basketball game for you. It's number 9, Kansas, at number 2, Iowa State. I've been so locked into college basketball this year, I definitely knew that the Cyclones were the number 2 ranked team in the country.
Oh.
Playing against the Jayhawks, 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. The home, your home, of the 2025 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. All right, let's continue. 6 quick thoughts, number 6, final one.
Keon Ellis is a 6 starter.
Boy, is he.
Yeah, it's just like really, really clear. I love that he's an instigator, and the Kings need an instigator. The stuff with Brook Lopez, I just thought was brilliant. Like, Brook Lopez, like, lost his mind. Then, of course, Brook Lopez started, like, hitting 28-footers, and it was all over.
You can map the evolution of NBA offense through Brook Lopez. Somebody pointed this out, and I wish I could remember who, because it's very smart. But, like, Brook Lopez's shot chart throughout his career has just, it was like, he was just this awesome back-to-the-basket scorer early in his career.
20-8, yeah.
And now he just, and then he added, like, a little short game, and then a mid-range game, and now he's a three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. And it just follows the trend of three-point shooting in the NBA.
That's wild.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And like, he always gets angry. Actually, him and his brother both get angry when they play the Kings. Mm-hmm. I mean, Robin Lopez got thrown out at least twice that I can remember and completely lost his mind. Plus, we had the Brook Lopez and Trey Lyles fight. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole deal where, like, Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it got all kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But I think with Keon, he goes 5 of 8 from 3, and he had 18 points. And a lot of that came late in the game. He got the 3-point. Three free throws. He had, again, I just felt like, it's really difficult to expect him to go for 18 points every night because it is so dependent on other people. But that doesn't mean that he can't be a super, super effective player. And I feel like he is the sixth man of this, the sixth starter, just like I always felt like Malik Monk was more than a sixth man. He's a sixth starter.
Sure.
So as soon as now from here on out, as long as it's not Domas, from here on out, though, anytime that you see a player go out of and not play, you're going to see Keon Ellis as a starter.
He's another player that when you look at his three-point attempts, he goes 5 of 8.
Mm-hmm.
That is the key when he's on the court. We know what he's going to do defensively. You know that he's going to be a demon on that end of the court. It's just a matter of, is he going to be unplayable offensively? And if he is just putting the threes up, you don't have to make 5 out of 8.
Shooting 42.3% on the season.
He's shooting well enough that teams are going to have to respect it if he's doing it at volume. But if he's not shooting it, it's much harder to keep him on the court.
Here's one of the craziest.
I love the confidence that he's shooting with.
While I'm looking at his stats, I noticed something that is probably one of the most crazy things I've ever seen ever at the NBA level.
My, okay.
Domantas Sabonis is leading the NBA at 14.1 rebounds per game.
Mm-hmm.
He's also leading the NBA in three-point percentage at 47.2%.
Wow.
The lead leaguer, the league leader in rebounding and three-point percentage.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to, on any kind of volume, maybe one time a rebounding leader went 1-for-1 from three or something stupid like that and shot 100%.
Yes.
But on any volume above two a game, I'm going to guarantee that's never happened.
I have never seen anything like that. Like to see somebody lead the league in rebounding and 3-point percentage.
Yeah. That's kind of wild.
Domantas Sabonis, three point shootout coming your way.
Maybe. I bet he would struggle to get through three racks of balls.
Why is he hesitating? Because he always does.
Like the guy, the rebounder's under the basket. He's like, he's open, bounce pass. Like, no! No, but he doesn't. It's not like he's got a quick release or anything. I do think it's really interesting with Doma specifically that teams have not adjusted to the way they defend him yet.
It's because it's a volume. It's only 2.4 attempts per game.
No, I totally understand. But when he gets out on the perimeter, you still see centers like sagging off of him,
mm-hmm.
and then doing these like really half-hearted closeouts. Like at some point, that's something that is going to be part of the playoff chess match if they get into a series.
Oh yeah.
Where I'm guessing they'll open the series going, yep, we're just going to leave him out there, and then he goes 6 for his first 8, and they go, all right, well, shoot, we have to go guard him.
Yep. That's wild.
Man, I think I said 5 a game was my.
Yeah,
my
I think
request.
We said between 3 and 5 a game. I think he still needs to bump it up more.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm okay with what he's doing.
It's hard to argue with the.
Yeah, what he's yeah.
I don't know, man. The best version of the Kings offense is one where he's but you can tell when he does take him, he's taking him a little more willingly. You can tell it's not comfortable though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his favorite thing to do on the basketball court.
No, totally. And even like when Doug took over, he went 2-for-3 in the first game. Then he goes 0-for-1 and 0-for-0. Like he didn't take a 3, mm-hmm. right? But over the last 6 games, we're starting to see a lot more 3s. And mm-hmm. he had 3 twice, 3 makes twice. He's had 2 twice and 1 twice. And so he's probably averaging right at 2 makes per game, which is it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times he's only taken 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 18 threes. So he's shooting 66% over his last 6 games from 3.
Man.
Because I can just like quick count without like them pulling up the stats. Like I can see that.
That's so crazy.
He's taken 18 threes over his last 6 games and he's hit a ton. He's hit, you know, again, 6, 10, 12. He's 12 of 18 over the last 6 games. How about you shoot the ball more?
Oh, yeah, 4-for-6, 2-for-3, yeah.
Yeah.
Fractions. Man, I want to talk about Domas real quick. Because I know D'Lo and KC were talking yesterday as we welcome in Jesse Tapia, who produces D'Lo and KC. They're taking you from noon to 4 every day right here on ESPN 1320, taking you up to college basketball tonight, Kansas at Iowa State, number 9 against number 2 at 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. But they were talking yesterday about how Domas is going to get snubbed from all NBA again, and they were doing a whole thing. And I saw our buddy Matt George post on Twitter that he almost drove off the road at how mad he was at all these scenarios that they were laying out. And we welcome in Jesse Tapia for the handoff. Hello, Jesse. How's it going, man?
What's up, guys?
I'm glad you're here for this.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
So I'm glad you're here every day. Like, I'm glad you're here all the time, not just for this.
Me too.
But
well,
yeah.
I'm curious why 11:44 on Wednesday is so special.
Because of what I want to talk about.
All right, let's hear it.
So I was kind of thinking about it, and I think that the Domas All-NBA, first of all, let me get this out of the way. I would vote for him for All-NBA if I had a vote. He's been incredible this season, and I think the more like national stuff I read and the perception of him this year and how he's playing, I believe he's going to be an All-NBA player. The other part of this is this is going to just be a constant battle. This is going to be something, and I know that we there's so much consternation over the fact that Domas might get snubbed from all NBA. But like, so what? I know it sucks and it's stupid. And the way the NBA works, it can affect contractual stuff. I know that that all sucks. But like, small market teams are always going to get overlooked. We know that. That is baked into the NBA discourse. To be a star player in a small market, mm-hmm. you have to be either loud. Domas is not. You have to go to the playoffs a bunch. Domas is not. You have to win in the playoffs a bunch. You have to score upwards of 28, 30 points a game. That's not him. There are all these things working against him. And again, this is not my judgment. This is not how I would judge it. But this is the uphill battle he's fighting against. And it's like, that's just going to be there. The focus for me is like, hey, one of the ways the Kings can get him out of that is go to the playoffs and then win a round in the playoffs and then go again the next year and win 55 games and go to the playoffs the next year as a favorite in the first two rounds and go to the conference finals. Like, these are the things that are going to get him out from the stupidity that is the All-NBA voting. I think getting mad at it at this point is pointless.
I get your logic, but like, it should just be like, do your job, pay attention to the game.
I agree. I totally agree. But I spent all last year getting upset about the All-Star snub stuff, or not, well, that All-Star snub too, but the All-NBA snub. Like, but it's just, it's where we're at. It's like, how, what do we do? Okay, we know we're here. Everybody knows we're here. Everybody knows that Domas, it could very easily get hosed in the All-NBA conversation. We are all on the same page. And if he doesn't make it, it would be a joke. We're all there?
Yeah, but he made it last year, right?
Yes,
yeah.
He didn't make it last year.
Made it last year, did not make the All-Star team, right?
Right. No. Not an All-Star, but All-NBA.
That's what I think.
That makes sense?
Okay, so, but I'm looking at it the same way we were talking earlier about when you're voting for defensive
control the controllables
player, you know, the AP guys, mm-hmm. right? So I look in the last 3 years, well, the last 2 years, he was seventh in MVP balloting and he was eighth in MVP balloting. Mm-hmm. The same people are voting. Mm-hmm. And so if he's going to be seventh and eighth, he's also going to be all NBA. I think both the last couple of years, he's been like number 11 or number 12 in balloting. So he makes third team all NBA, but I still think he's going to be all NBA. Like, I'm looking mm-hmm. at his stats, and the one other thing I point out, like, if you're going to use advanced statistics to support the case that Nikola Jokic is one of the most impactful players in the history of the game, because he is, mm-hmm. like, straight up, like, mm-hmm. you go look at the advanced numbers, what he's done for, like, win shares and all that stuff, he is so far above everybody else in the league over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Domas is in the top four every single year. If you're going to use that same standard to give Jokic MVP after MVP, and mm-hmm. I agree with it, mm-hmm. then you also have to give that same like, you got to give props to Domas as well mm-hmm. for what he does, and they don't. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that we don't know whether he'll make an All-Star team and he puts these numbers up every single night, it's crazy.
The All-Star is kind of a joke at this point.
The All-Star stuff is dumb.
Yeah.
I think he'll make All-NBA. I think it's a matter of if they make playoffs, does Fox get in?
I think
Domas will get in either way, no matter what, if they miss or make. But yeah, I think if they make playoffs, it's like, all right, do they get a second one then?
Yeah, because I think we can all agree that he's one of the top 15 players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Without mm-hmm. any question. But there's three guys in Sacramento.
Exactly.
It's not three guys that are looking at this nationally and, you know, have the one playoff series where he did struggle. He had mm-hmm. a couple of games where he struggled. He also had a couple of games where he was outstanding
mm-hmm.
against the Golden State Warriors. But he needs more.
Right, but the perception, again, this is not my perception. I don't shoot the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
The perception is, if we're doing radio, Atlanta's always my go-to city. If we're doing radio in Atlanta, we're talking about all NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at Domantas Sabonis. We're going to look at Domantas Sabonis and what the Kings have done, again, because you have to recognize nobody's doing the context of what the Kings have been and where they've been. They're going to look and they've go, okay, well, they've won 48 games and we're the three seed in a down year for the West. And then they won 46 games and didn't make the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff series. That's a good stats, bad team guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's how that's going to get viewed, and that sucks. Mm-hmm. It's stupid. You're right, Jesse. Like, people need, especially if you're voting for this stuff, you got to do better. And I'm right there with you. But it's to me, the conversation is not, is he going to get snubbed? Oh my God, it would suck if he gets snubbed. It's like, how do we get past that? Is there a way to get past that? And to me, the number one way to get past that is like, you got to go make the playoffs this year.
Yep.
And then go start winning playoff series. Like that's what it is. That's it. You brought up Jokic in 2018-19, played 14 playoff games. The next year, 19 playoff games. The next year, 10 playoff games. The next year, just five. They didn't have Jamal Murray that year. 22-23, they go to the playoffs, they win the finals. The next year, they play 12 playoff games.
Yeah.
Like that is how you get those numbers and all the advanced stats, because it's dumb. But that's the lens that everybody views everything through.
I think another reason, though, why like we complain about and stuff like that, too, is now it affects contracts. Like now it could affect whether De'Aaron Fox is with the Kings next season or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's an issue.
Yeah, we did a whole segment on that.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to do that, you need to have like a voting committee.
Uh-huh.
And you need to expand it, because there are, if you're going to have it affect contracts, and you're just going to be like, okay, well, arbitrarily, it's the 15 guys. Well, what if there's 20 all NBA caliber guys, and these five dudes just get hosed, dear? Like,
yeah,
that can't be right. Like, so it might alter the course of the Sacramento Kings franchise because people are too lazy to stay up and watch Kings games.
Yeah, I think Casey said it yesterday. I think Fox is top six. I think he's sixth in scoring in the league right now.
Sixth in scoring, third in the Western Conference.
Okay, so yeah, and it's like he's probably not going to make all NBA. He's probably going to miss out on however many dollars or whatever.
Yeah,
we'll see. Like if the Kings continue to roll and they make a big push here and they
look good, just got to stay consistent.
They get to the four seed or they get to the five seed and they're in the playoffs. I think Fox is going to have a very good opportunity to make all NBA.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think Sabonis will too.
Yeah, I think Sabonis.
I think he's.
I wouldn't say he's a lock because he's a Sacramento King, and we know how that goes. But
no doubt,
I'm pretty. I have a good feeling he'll make it. He's made the last couple of years.
I had a good feeling last year.
Yeah.
Well,
I think he's been better this year.
I'll keep bringing up the other
John Hollinger.
Oh.
In the Athletic, acknowledged that Domas has been good this year.
Oh.
That's where we're at.
Progress, people.
That's crazy.
That's big time. In fact, you know what? Round of applause. Short one for John Hollinger.
There it is.
Golf clap.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, look, I think that at the end of the day, they have to win. And if they win, it'll take care of
it.
The only one who doesn't get that is Luka, who, you know, made all NBA first team the year that they didn't even make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, wait a sec. Why does it not count for him? And then you look at his stats and you're like, okay.
Right.
But the other point, I'll just keep pointing. Look at how many players have already fallen out and can't make all NBA this year.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that made it last year, Luka, I think he missed his 18th game last night. No longer eligible for All-NBA. Paul George is going to be on the fence whether he'll be eligible, and he shouldn't be making All-NBA teams anyways. And statistically speaking, I hate saying this because a lot of Warriors fans are going to get pissed. Steph is not an All-NBA player this
year. Son of a bitch!
He's just not.
No. He's a good player, but
statistically speaking, and where his team is in the standings,
if Steph Curry this year is an All-NBA player, it's because the voters sat down and they go, okay, who are the guys that just automatically they qualify? And I just, okay, let's see, Durant, Curry, like they just have these names that they just write down. And it's like, these guys are in automatically.
See, and that's why you give Steph a legacy all-star spot. Steph, here's the all-star game.
Yeah.
Not all NBA this year, but here, come play in the all-star.
It matters. Yeah, all NBA matters too much, man.
We're going to have that question. Is LeBron all NBA this year?
LeBron's going to be all NBA.
Well, he's going to be, but is he an all NBA player?
Probably.
We'll find a third.
I haven't looked at his numbers. Hang on. Let me. How much time we got? Oh, we got like 20 seconds. I'm going to spend these 20 seconds looking at LeBron's numbers. Where are we at?
He's 41 years old. He's like a top 10 player.
He's 41 years. He's 40. Just turned 40. He's averaging 24, 8, and 9.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Yeah.
What a jerk. All right. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Can't wait for that. Jesse, thanks for hopping in. James, good show today. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water and be nice to people. See ya!